Public Defender, and I represent the appellant, Mr. James Olson II. Your Honors, this case presents a suppression issue and an issue of statutory interpretation plus sufficiency. Today, I'd like to focus on the first issue, which is the question of whether police had probable cause to believe that Mr. Olson constructively possessed the drugs and or the paraphernalia found in the purse-like wallet in the glove box and the paraphernalia in the center console. Officers needed particularized facts to believe that Mr. Olson had committed a crime in order to have probable cause to arrest him. The only facts that they had were that he was the passenger in a car located in proximity to closed containers that hid drugs and paraphernalia. This is a mere presence case. And time and time again, this court has said that mere presence is not enough to give probable cause for arrest.
Does it make a difference that your client's in the front seat, where all of the paraphernalia and drugs are ultimately found, versus the back seat?
It doesn't, Your Honor. I understand that the backseat passenger in this case was not charged, but there's nothing magical about your position in that car. What we have to look at here is the circumstances that speak to whether he exercised dominion and control over those objects, the contraband. And the circumstances here do not point to his exercising dominion and control over them. He did not flee. He did not make any furtive movements. He did not make any confessions or statements that would say that those were his. This was not his car. He was not driving. He did not exhibit signs of controlled substance use as the driver did. All of these facts point to him being a passenger in the car who is not exhibiting control over those objects. It points to the fact that the driver is the one who is exhibiting exclusive control over those objects. I will also point out to you, I didn't point this out very well in the brief, and I want to make sure that we are all on the same page factually here. As the district court noted in its omnibus order, and this is borne out on the video, Ms. Klein, the driver, when the officers first approach her, takes the wallet-like purse out of the closed glove box to go through it to try to find her ID. And then after subsequent questioning, she put it back in the glove box.
Says it's not mine.
And says, this is not mine. She's obviously trying to hide what's in that wallet-like purse. But that just deepens the fact that she has exclusive control over the drugs and the paraphernalia. It shows that because it was not only zipped up in this wallet-like purse, but closed in a glove box, that Mr. Olson may not have even known it was there, and that he did not have any control over it. The only person controlling that object is Ms. Klein the entire time. And as far as the center console goes, that was also closed. I think it's not a surprise to anyone who's ridden in a car that you can ride in a car with the things in the center console and not be at all aware of what is in there if it is closed. So, Your Honors, this is straightforward in this case. This court has reversed on these almost identical facts before in Albino, which was cited in our brief. There, the truck was pulled over for a traffic infraction. Same here. The driver was arrested on a warrant. Miss Albino was the passenger. She was taken out. The car was searched. They found drugs in a closed camera container underneath the bench seat. And she did not flee. She made no furtive movements. Because of her behavior, because of the circumstances, the court reversed, finding that there was not probable cause to believe that she had exercised dominion and control over the contraband in that truck.
So here we have a couple of additional circumstances, right? We have the strong odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle, and in fact observed from your client's side of the vehicle. And we have your client telling the officers at 11 p.m. that they were in Aiken to look at a house. Do those circumstances change this case or distinguish it from Albino in a way that would justify the arrest?
I will point out two things. It does not change anything from Albino. First, Mr. Olson was never charged with a marijuana possession offense. Marijuana was not found in this car. The passenger, in fact, said that they'd had a friend in the car who had smoked CBD oil in it before, and they believed that that's where the smell had come from. One of the officers did not smell the marijuana. It was only the other officer who did. And as you know, there is a case pending at the Supreme Court as to whether the smell and odor of marijuana gives us probable cause to search and to arrest. So we're on shaky ground there to begin with. And then with regard, what was the second thing
just
you asked?
Him telling the officer that they were in town at 11 p.m. looking at a house.
That's right. I think if you watch the video, you will see, and again, the entirety of the one-hour encounter was introduced into the record. And so you can see the entire video in this case and take it into consideration. But once you watch that video, there was a further explanation given that they had gone out to this house in Brainerd that Ms. Klein was now buying and that they were looking around it and they were late coming back from that house. That's an innocent explanation. That really has nothing to do with drugs in a car. That could be anyone in any situation. You're late coming back from dinner or going to a bar with a friend or something like that. That gives no additional circumstance to believe that someone is carrying contraband in a car. Are there any other questions from this panel?
I do not see any.
I'd ask for the relief in our brief. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the matter under advisement and issue our decision within the statutory. That is the last matter on our calendar for oral argument, so we will recess.